from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully you guys are doing well. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. It's been a long day, papa. It's been a long day. I like these days, though. These are the ones that make you feel like you earn whatever you get. You know what I mean? Like, I was on, shout out to Stadium and all the people there, man. They have a great team. All the producers that are over there, Dennis, Mike Morris, Patrick, you got the directors. I mean, they just do a great team. The floor people, Andrea, just awesome. I've been there for the last couple of weeks just doing some TV, and they got a really good squad over there, man. Just been doing well. So today, Stadium Clubhouse, and then the rally, that's at 2 p.m., and the rally's at 5. And then right after that, come right over here to the Score, baby, getting it in. I'm feeling... This is what happens. This is why people, I'm telling you guys, I'm working on this shirt. Alex Kuhn producing today. I'm working on this shirt. It's everywhere all the time.
That is an appropriate shirt for you.
Right. And then the acronym is EAT, because I'll be eating everywhere, eat all the time. EAT, just got 2 T's, branding it. Got to get an LLC or something like that. That's what I am. That's what I feel like sometimes. You got to be. But it's hard, man. It's hard when you love the... When you love the teams that you support and you want to be everywhere all the time, but ultimately you're just stuck on a TV watching your guys. Watch the Sox. People make fun of me because I watch the White Sox still. They're like, why? And I'm like, what do you mean? When you're a fan, you just watch it. And you want to try to set yourself up for the future, right? Have a good grasp on what's actually going on out there. And if you're looking at some of these guys for the White Sox, and Bruce put out a really good tweet about the runs per game. Bruce Levine will be joining us in a little bit. Runs per game since the All-Star break. Apparently the Sox are averaging like 1.5 and the Cubs are averaging 1.57.
Hasn't it felt like we've seen some of the worst baseball? Actually, we have seen some of the worst baseball in the entire league since June.
See, that's the thing about it, right? And this goes back to my watching the White Sox games. Is that it's not that it's bad baseball for the White Sox, right? It's not that it's bad baseball. It's that there are teams that are just better. Teams that can hit, that can string together a few more base hits than the White Sox and Cubs can presently. That, you know, have a little bit better bullpen pitchers. You know what I'm saying? Like, their closers are a little bit better, but they're... Again, it's not bad. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's never bad, right? There are moments when the White Sox have the lead going into the, you know, last third of the game, and for whatever reason, you know, they just don't end up with the victory. That part's frustrating. yeah, I guess you can call that bad baseball. But I think overall, the overarching thing is like baseball in Chicago, it's who's the studs, you know? Like, no, Bellinger's out. So who's the stud for the Cubs, right? Luis Robert Jr., he knows he's a stud and he has great numbers. But you know what I'm talking about, where it's like when they're at the plate, you cannot help but to watch. And I think that's what we're struggling with in Chicago is top tier, upper echelon baseball. Now, Cody Bellinger, we do know that he's been swinging the bat, gripping the ball has been tough. But that, I read directly from a Bruce Levine tweet. That's why it's better to just have him on the phone. So joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, chat not only a little bit of Cubs, maybe a little White Sox as well, as our baseball analyst here at 670, the Score, also contributor for the Marquee Sports Network, Bruce Levine. Bruce, good to talk to you.
Gabe, always a pleasure to talk to you. And the White Sox have scored 11 runs in 7 games, and the Cubs have scored 6 runns in, or 9 runs in 6 games. So that's from the All-Star game. Okay?
I know.
It's hard to watch. You know, there's been some really good pitching involved for both teams, but scoring 1.5 run a game is not getting it done.
Yeah, even if the pitching is doing well, you got to put some runs on the board. So, I mean, I guess I'll stick on the White Sox side if we're just going to talk about pitching. Like the rotation of the young guys, the starts that you've seen so far, when you're talking about Cannon, when you're talking about Thorpe, let's just specifically with those guys. Crochet, we know we got over there. What have been your impressions on those two pitchers specifically?
Well, I'm very impressed with all three, and I just think that given time, Chris Getz and his people, give them time, they are continuing to bring outstanding young pitching into this organization and develop young pitching. Brian Bannister, who's the director of pitching for the Chicago Cubs organization, is a brilliant guy. Ethan Katz is doing a good job with these young guys, the pitching coach. Just give these young management people some time. I know White Sox fans are, you know, calling me names and saying, you know, we're going to lose 120 games. Why should we bother? I'm telling you that with any luck at all, they're building a cachet of young pitching that's going to get them to be more competitive sooner rather than later. I'm not saying it's next year. I don't think so. But within 2 or 3 years, with any luck and some more good trades that they make here at the deadline, the White Sox have a chance to be a good team just based on starting pitching alone. We know you can't win with starting pitching alone. The Cubs are proving that this year, but that's the right place to go.
Yeah, and you know, Bruce, I know coaches overused a lot and overused phrase, but when you talk about the White Sox, I feel like sometimes like the team culture struggles. Do you think that's because a lack of like a player buy-in or like an effort in creating one? Because I think it impacts the performance on the field, but I would just love for there to be more ownership from some players and wanting to put the Sox, not only the team, but the organization on their back.
Well, you know, it's a transient group right now, okay? So, you know, you have the veteran players on the team all know that by Tuesday, the likelihood is that they got another uniform on. And they knew that, they pretty much knew that from the beginning of the year, right? You know, it was kind of like, you know, veterans coming in here, the young and Lopez and Tommy Pham, and they were playing not only for the White Sox, they're playing for their careers, okay? They're playing to resuscitate their careers, to move on with the rest of their career. So it's a different mentality. You're not drinking the White Sox Kool-Aid because you know you're only here for a short time. What you are is you're a professional, you play hard, you're a good teammate, you do everything you can to impress those other 29 teams who might be looking at you at the trading deadline, which is right now.
Well, some of the players on the other side of town might have to be looked at as transient players as well with a lot of the stuff that has been going on there in the front office and talks about the team. How disappointed are you in where the Cubs are at in the present?
Well, I mean, personally, as a reporter and as an observer of the Cubs and White Sox over the years, I get disappointed for the fans, okay? You know, for me, I don't when they ask David Haugh and me to make predictions at the beginning of the year for our Inside the Clubhouse show, I always hesitate. I do it, but I hate it because I can't predict who's going to get injured, right? I'm not able to predict that Cody Bellinger is going to get injured twice in a year, that Swanson is going to have a down year. You know, I can't predict this stuff. So I'm an observer. I expected the Cubs to be right around where they were last year. You know, not much more than that. I just didn't think that they had enough pop in their lineup, even with Bellinger coming back. You know, Gabe, you have to think back to the offseason. The offseason was pretty much the Cubs adding Imanaga, making a really good trade by bringing in Michael Bush. That was a terrific trade. But the rest of the time was sitting around waiting for Bellinger to make up his mind and see if there's another another team in the market. And it took all the way to spring training to get this done. They weren't able to add any more offense on top of that. They were also surprised by the fact that they were the sixth best team in run scoring last year. And, you know, this year they're 22, they're 23, they're down near the bottom, you know, the lower quadrant of teams in all the offensive departments. So from a front office aspect, you know, they overrated, you know, what they had as far as the offense went. Again, you know, based on last year, they felt that there was more consistency to count on in this group. So they didn't add a lot more. Again, Bush is a nice surprise for this team, and he looks like he's going to be a really good player for a long time. But the reality of offense being hard to find in baseball in general, and then hard for it to be linear and keep moving up, I think, you know, there's many other teams out there that have players hitting 200 or 210 that don't quite understand why they are hitting that and what to do about it.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to swallow. And I love what you said about the Cody Bellinger thing, because it's a great reminder, right, where the Cubs were at, and Bellinger for that matter. But you and I were talking about it during the offseason a ton about, you know, obviously Boris and what that was going to look like. And it seemed as though they were the only two. They were just staring at each other, just waiting for some ink to dry on the paper.
And that's what Boris, you know, he's not one of the top agents in baseball for the last 35 years by mistake. He's going to play cards with you. He's going to stare you down. You're not going to know his hand until he's ready to show it. And then that's, you know, I mean, most people thought that the Cubs won that stare down because it was a 3-year deal with an option for him to get out in the second and third year. But, you know, the Cubs did not commit $250, $300 million to the mix. So a lot of people said, well, the Cubs won this one because they got a really good player, and if things didn't work out, they weren't committed way down the road. So
yeah, but then, you know, then on the other side, though, you know, Cody's like, I don't know if I would have got even this much money from another team. I would have got money,
well, I mean,
but maybe not.
I mean,
this
that's
much.
That's a great question. So you go into the offseason, hopefully Bellinger has a good 2 months. You go into the offseason, November comes. By the first week in November, you have to declare if you have an option, whether you're going to, if the player, this is a player-only option, if he's going to pick up his option to come back for $30 million, or he's going to roll the dice on another longer-term deal with somebody else. Right now, you know, most people are saying, oh, he's going to come back for sure. Well, you still have 2 months. You know, last year, the last 3 months, he was the hottest hitter in baseball, drove in 68 runs from the All-Star game on. So with a push here, you know, you never say what Boris and his clients are going to do. He might opt out regardless, but it's, you know, these are difficult situations for front offices, and, you know, in some senses you are rolling the dice. And, you know, like Swanson's contract last year looked great. You know, it was like, yeah, we got ourselves, you know, one of the top shortstops in baseball. His offense was pretty good. He had a bad last month, but for the most part, it was good. He was an important player on the team. He's still a great shortstop, but He hasn't hit this year. You know, what do you do?
Yeah, that's been an interesting one, too, watching Dansby just kind of make his way down the batting order and just waiting for that turnaround. I've even suggested tossing him at the top just to kind of give him a confidence boost. Like, hey, man, you should be at the top. Here, go ahead. Maybe you'll hit better there.
Gabe, I think we've said that about every player on the team this year.
You know, right. Like, at some point, right?
I mean, it's when Michael Busch is the most consistent player in your team until this latest surge by Suzuki and by Horner, you know, that's concerning.
Yeah.
You know, it's concerning. It's great that he did. He was, but, you know, he wasn't supposed to be the guy carrying your offense.
No, because you saw him at the top of the lineup and you were like, okay. Yeah, I guess he is the hottest guy on the team.
We never thought he was going to be at the top of the lineup either.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, he just emerged. So it's really interesting and it's difficult because, you know, you wake up today and they said, well, the Cubs are, you know, they're pretty much six games behind the third wild card right now. So, you know, it's getting to the point where it's not really much to talk about.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have the fourth worst record in the National League right now. There's Washington, Colorado, and Florida or Miami. That's it. You have the fourth worst record in the National League. Can it change in the league if you go 8-2 in the next 10 games? It can, but you know, are we going to be any closer to the Cardinals, to Atlanta, the other teams that are, you know, San Diego's heating up? Are you going to be close to those teams in the next 7 weeks? I don't know.
Yeah, and then more importantly, even if you were to go 8-2, what are you going to do in the next 10 games after that? Because you're going to have to either duplicate that or kind of move on.
You mentioned Jed Hoyer just now. The most important answers will come from Jed Hoyer here over the next 4 days, 5 days, until the deadline, 5 o'clock on Tuesday for trading. We'll know what his opinion is, and his is the only one that really matters right now.
That we do know. And of course, he talked about, you know, focusing on building for the 2025 season and beyond. When you hear a statement like that, Bruce, does that sound like you're still building this roster to compete then? Or, so I'm saying there, you're still willing to move younger pieces? Or is it that the younger pieces that you have are the ones that you're looking to build around for the 2025 season?
Yeah, I think all that, honestly. You know, I think everything that you said, you're always looking to add. No matter what time of the year it is, you're trying to add, you're trying to get better, you're trying to find ways to promote your younger people. Look, you have player development at catcher behind the plate with Amaya, at third base with Morrell, at first base with Bush, and center field with PCA. Realistically, if you were saying they were the Portland Cubs and you were looking at it from afar, you'd say, oh, they have some veterans on the team, but it's a team in player development. You got all those important positions, and you got rookies at every one of those positions. Now, Morrell's not a rookie, but it's the first time he's playing a position full-time in the major leagues, one place. So, you know, that is really difficult to think that you can be knee-deep in player development of those positions and still be competing to win a championship that year, okay? Maybe two positions, but not four. Okay, and I just think that because it's the Chicago Cubs and the fan base and people expect them to be playing with the big boys, you know, you don't always look at it with the proper lens. I think the proper lens is this is a team that is developing. It is in player development. It has some good veteran players. Will they have the same amount of good veteran players come Tuesday? We'll have to see. You know, will some of the pitchers be traded? The rumors about Nico Horner being moved, is that true? You know, we'll find out if any of that's real or not.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch that unfold by Tuesday. And then I also think, you know, this upcoming offseason, Bruce, is going to be, I know last year, like you mentioned earlier, you know, somewhat of a dud. But I do have faith in the front office that they have zero problem pulling the trigger on something big in the event that whatever they're working on in the present isn't necessarily working out. And this upcoming offseason, and I do believe them when they say 2025 and beyond, but still being able to set the team up in the offseason.
Well, you know, if they set aside $1 billion, they can sign Soto and Corbin Burns.
It's that easy. It's simple, guys.
You know, you got best players coming out next year in Burns and Soto. You know, fans will say, write the check. Yeah. And, you know, at some point in time, somebody's going to sign them. And, you know, you don't know if the Yankees are going to, if Soto's going back to the Yankees, the smart money is on the fact that they're going to pay him no matter what. If it's a $500 million contract, they're going to pay it. Don't know if they're going to do that here in Chicago. Burns is going to get a lot of money as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Bruce, great stuff as always. Always enjoy talking to you about these two teams. Next time I'm going to pick your brain, though, more on the White Sox, all right?
Sounds good. Have a great night, Gabe.
Bruce Devine, right here on 670 The Score. Always, always giving you the best of the best. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. And, of course, you can always catch him Saturdays inside the clubhouse. David Haw, Marquee Sports Network, giving all the gems over there as well. It is a tough time, and I love that I love what Bruce said, that he feels bad for the fan bases. Because ultimately, that's what it is. If you're covering the team and you can feel the anticipation heading into a season and the differences between the years. And I'm sure when you feel the anticipation at an all-time high, or, you know, at a high 9, let's say, and then you're like, there's a level of believability to it, and it doesn't come to fruition, I'm sure that could be frustrating for a reporter, because it is better to ride the wave when teams are winning. And even if they don't necessarily win a World Series, the race to the playoffs, all those things are so, I mean, we know this as fans, right? It's just much better when teams are winning or they're in it. Cause then, you know, in the middle of July or August, you tap out and you're ready for football or whatever the next sport is that you know, enjoy. Speaking of football, we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Got to chat about Roma Dunze and where he fits in the grand scheme of rookie wide receivers. There are some great ones out there. I'll tell you where I think he ranks, and we'll do that next right here on The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And 11 at the 19. McCord over the middle. Harrison Jr. again down the sideline. Maserati Mar.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That was certainly what some consider to be the best wide receiver in the rookie draft class. There are a ton of rookies out there, man. Shout out Fox for the audio there. And I also want to say something. Of course, Bruce and I were mentioning the trade deadline, of course, and the trade deadline coverage on The Score. It's presented by T-Mobile. You can switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. You know, speaking of T-Mobile, I might as well throw on the shameless plug. I've been saying it all week or all show, but it's because I want you guys to watch it. I'm showing you my multiple skill set here. You know what I'm saying? Not only is it sports, your boy is going to be doing the Hulu live broadcast of Lollapalooza.
I watched it a little bit last year.
Yeah. Go have a brewski and watch the kid. But this year, I'm also going to be doing a little T-Mobile coverage. You know, they got that Club Magenta on the side over there. It's pretty nice, man. They got like an Oasis lounge that you can kind of get away from everybody. TVs. You can watch the show. They got artists that pop up there, too. So I know we're showing love to T-Mobile on my radio show, but I might as well show a little love to T-Mobile, especially. So if you're going to be at Lollapalooza, come kick it. If you're a T-Mobile customer, they got like fast pass entry lanes for you. It's kind of wild, but I'm going to be there. If you see me over there, make sure you say what's up. Throw me a dap. We'll take a picture with each other and hang out. But in the meantime, I do want to talk about these wide receivers, all right, because I am doing the sports thing right now. Now, the list of wide receivers, rookie wide receiver. I mean, this is a crazy addition to the wide receivers that are already out there and getting paid. Wide receiver came out on Netflix. I've been watching that religiously. You know, Justin Jefferson, going to get paid, right? Devontae Adams, like all these guys want to get paid. DJ Moore is going to want to get paid. Keenan Allen didn't want to give up his money. Guys want to get paid. And this next group of wide receivers are no different. So, just working backwards, I'll tell you where I think Roma Dunze fits in the grand scheme of these rookie receivers. So at the top, again, you heard from him, Marvin Harrison Jr., understandable. People think, of course, with his size, speed, footwork, just like the perfect outside receiver. And, I mean, who else is Kyler Murray going to be throwing to, right? So there's going to be a ton of productivity there from him. Second, of course, Malik Nabers. I can't say it enough. I've been saying it since the combine before that. Malik Nabers is like Tyreek Hill. He has that level of capability. So it's going to be interesting if Daniel Jones can get on the ball. Daniel Jones plus 1,600 right now to be comeback player of the year. Aaron Rodgers leading the pack at plus 125. But Malik Nabers could help. If you really do believe that he's going to be there, it's going to be great. All right. Now here's where it gets dicey, because then I feel like I want to put Roma Dunze right there at number three. But he might not get as many targets as some of these other guys, right? Like Keon Coleman for the Buffalo Bills. Big body, Florida State receiver. Who's Josh Allen going to throw the ball to?
Yeah, they don't have an X receiver.
They are relying
on him.
And if he can be a handsy guy like he is, he's a go-up-and-get-it guy. I think a lot of teams were concerned that he might not have been able to thrive as a number two or number three receiver on a squad. And the Buffalo Bills were like, oh, back half of the first round, yeah, no problem. I'll take this guy. We'll make him our number one receiver, and that they did. So it's going to be interesting there with Keon Coleman. Again, it depends on productivity. Brian Thomas Jr. with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Malik Nabers, teammate at LSU. Jaden Daniels thrown on the ball. Big body. But they have Gabe Davis from the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of them, that's one of the guys that Josh Allen lost. Christian Kirk. Speedy wide receiver. I wanted the Bears to get when they ended up getting Andre Miller. Who am I thinking of?
Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller. Thank you.
My younger brother's teammate at Memphis.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I was so happy when he got drafted.
Dude, he was the highlights. I just remember trading up to get him. Stud.
His shoulder just kept popping out of its socket.
And he kept punching guys in the face.
That too.
Yeah. About that. I know that's your boy, but I have to throw that out there. Either way, Brian Thomas. You got Christian Kirk there. You got Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr. You know, again, I think he's going to be a guy that's fighting for output as well because Trevor Lawrence spreads the ball around. He doesn't have a go-to target. Ladd McConkey. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Ladd McConkey and what he's going to be able to do for the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, Keenan Allen gone. Mike Williams gone. Quentin Johnston was somebody that struggled last year, even though I'm super high on Quentin Johnston just from college. Clearly, there's something going on there, but hopefully Harbaugh can get in his ear and be like, dude, you're a stud receiver, right? He can talk to him in that college language. He knows how to get the best out of a young guy, and he can probably reinvigorate a guy like Quentin Johnston. But Ladd McConkey is the speedster. Ladd McConkey is the internet quick, is the Christian McCaffrey of wide receivers. And so it'll be interesting to see how he plays out there. So I think Roma Dunze fits behind a Keon Coleman. And then a Ladd McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr. after that is where those guys fall. Because
and you're talking about pure numbers.
Numbers.
Okay.
Not talent level. No, just productivity, output. Like if you're going into your fantasy football draft pretty soon and you want to draft Roma Dunze, like there are a couple of other rookies that you might want to consider in front of them. Ladd McConkey certainly being one of them. And it, of course, it all depends on health. Jalen Polk from the Patriots, they don't have an ace guy. So if you're looking for another name that you can probably like steal in the latter rounds, I mean, is it Mac Jones? No, not Mac Jones. He's on the Jaguars, isn't he? Something like that, backing up Trevor Lawrence. Of course, I'm talking about
the Patriots, guy, Drake May.
My favorite
Your
guy,
boy.
Drake May. Jalen Polk is going to kill over there. Drake May is going to surprise people. Nobody's talking about Drake May.
I still don't know how he wasn't the second quarterback taken. I still don't get it.
People are going to regret it.
100%.
And I'm not saying it's because, look, Jaden Daniels is going to be good. He's a good quarterback. I'm not taking that away from him. But he's going to suffer an Anthony Richardson type injury. His receivers are not as good as Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are not as good as those two guys. So he's going to struggle. He's going to struggle mightily. And he's tiny. Let's not forget, he didn't even hit the scale at the draft combine. He refused to step on the scale because they knew he was fragile. Bendito. A little palito. Just slim and trim. So that's why I think the regret is going to come in because he's going to get injured and it might be a Robert Griffin III. So I don't know. That one strikes me. A couple other guys that are out there. Jermaine Burton, Cincinnati Bengals. You know, Jamar Chase, I don't know. He doesn't want to play football this year. So that's another guy you might be able to look at. Xavier Worthy. I mean, listen. Patrick Mahomes throws it to one guy consistently, and that's Travis Kelce. It's Travis Kelce and the guys. And so even if you do get open Xavier Worthy, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, he's going to look for you, but I don't know if you're going to be like a Randy Moss to his Tom Brady.
Are you going to be anything more than what like Mecole Hardman was in his rookie? Like, I'm talking about Xavier Worthy in his rookie year, like just a pure deep threat.
Yeah.
Straight line. Deep threat.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, they speak so highly of him. And clearly the Kansas City Chiefs understood that adding a weapon of that caliber was going to make a significant change and difference on that team. But again, you know, because they have to do it some way. And via free agency, they're not going to spend money on a wide receiver, especially when they're trying to get paid this way. But certainly a speedster that can be a weapon for Patrick Mahomes. All right, we're going to try to call my guy Clay Harbor. See if we can get him on, talk a little bit of Bears before we get up out of here at 9 o'clock, see what he has to say about Caleb Williams and the dynamic. Matter of fact, we're going to talk to him about the tight ends. Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, what does he think about them and how big of a difference can they make for Caleb Williams in the upcoming season? We talk to Clay Harbor next right here on 670 The Score.
Same way as I've been before, just being interchangeable with the receivers and the tight ends and even the running back. I mean, I don't think there's many tight ends that's kept doing jet sweeps or catching screens. So hopefully to implement that as well as I did any other year that I've been in the league. So I think it'll be progressive this year.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We haven't heard much from him, but that was Bears tight end Gerald Everett. I saw him in one highlight. The pass was behind him. And the defender, I believe it was Tremaine Edmonds, bats the ball down. And I just, in watching the highlight, I was like, I'm sure he was pissed about that. I'm sure he wanted that ball right in front of him. But he's going to be a big addition. We were supposed to talk to Clay Harbor, but he's a little tied up right now. I will definitely give him crap tomorrow on TV. I'm going to crush him on TV tomorrow for not showing up. We've been giving each other crap for he's been on this whole week with me on Stadium, and we've been giving each other crap the whole time. It's been actually kind of funny. He's made reference to me living in my mom's basement, which is not true. I have a house in Oak Park with my wife. It's just so funny. I've been making fun of his record as an NFL player over the course of 9 years, which is impressive, by the way. But you can catch us both tomorrow on Stadium Clubhouse, 2 p.m. The rally is going to be at 5. You can download the Stadium app. We film at the United Center, which is pretty cool, too. So make sure you guys check us out tomorrow. But he speaks highly of Gerald Everett. Of course, Clay Harbor played 9 years in the NFL, and he thinks highly of the move. Of course, he thinks Kokomet's one of the better tight ends in the NFL because he can both block and catch. But he thinks Gerald Everett is going to be a big component to the offense. So it's exciting to hear him speak highly. He says that the potential of the Chicago Bears is what made the team attractive. And, I mean, geez, if you think about, you know, where he could have landed playing tight end in the NFL, being a main target, especially the way tight ends are used now in the present, definitely fortunate to have a guy like that on the team. So that's the offensive side of the ball. Wanted to spend a little bit of time on the defensive side of the ball as well. Tyrique Stevenson spoke to the media, and I was kind of giving the Bears defense crap earlier in the show just because I'm concerned about, I don't know, the confidence of the Bears. It's not just the Bears, but it'd be any team. But I think specifically it's the Bears because I know that we as fans are crazy about our Bears. And we tend to overinflate players because we're fans and we love them. Now, Tyrique Stevenson has been a dog. That we do know. But again, it's one thing that I struggle with, but Tyrique Stevenson talked about the confidence of this defense and what level it's at.
I would say, you know, it's to the utmost level. It's always at the utmost level. It's never coming down, but it's definitely higher than last year. Just coming back out with the same guys, coming back out with the same scheme, and knowing that I know this scheme now and knowing my ability, so definitely a little bit more higher.
A little bit higher than last year. I understand that. There is an importance to running the same scheme. Granted, you have a new defensive coordinator, technically. But the scheme is the same, so you love that. Continuity. Hey, we hate it when AK says it. Arturis Karnisovas from the Bulls. But when Tyrique Stevenson mentions it, we got to get behind it. That we do know. Tyrique, in talking to the media, talked about how his teammates helped his growth last season, which we understand. You had some good leaders, right? Eddie Jackson, you know, even though he's not on the team anymore, he's with the Ravens now. Yep, Eddie Jackson signed with the Ravens. But veteran leadership like that, all right, you're feeling good about those additions. Jalen Johnson on the other side making you feel good, right? So even the linebacking core helping out the young cornerback. How much pressure was on him last year when they told him, hey, man, you know what? Kyler Gordon, we like you, but you're going to be guarding the slot. You're the nickel guy now. I'm sure that was a blow for Kyler Gordon. A lot of pressure on Tyrique Stevenson. A little handsy at the beginning of the season, but figured it out. And now that he feels more comfortable in his scheme, high expectations for Tyrique Stevenson. I truly hope he can reach that level. And why is he a sharper knife than last year? Not just the continuity in the scheme that they're running, but because he's going up against some of the best wide receivers in the league. It was DJ Moore last year, and this year it's Keenan Allen.
Just watching him practice and watching how he plays. Like, even if he ain't getting the ball, he runs a whole different route or he does something different, not even let you know that route is there. So if you come back to it or they run that same play, you go to where you thought he was last time, and it's a whole different route.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful because you're trying to, like, you can envision it as a Bears fan. You can envision Keenan Allen, a professional wide receiver, making a guy like Tyrique Stevenson, who I just spoke highly of, who we all think is really good, making him second guess everything he's doing. He just talked about how he's confident in his abilities. And he's like, man, he's a magician out there.
Yeah, he was talking about DJ Moore, and he's like, well, at least with DJ Moore, it's straight up. You know that he's going to run a route and he's going to beat you. There's not a whole lot of mystery, but like Keenan Allen, you have no idea what he's going
to
do.
Is he going to go over the top? Is he going to just cut a route? Like, that's so cool to see, man. And I love that Roma Dunze has the ability to watch both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, because as you should take away something from everyone that you work with. Doesn't matter if they're a bad employee or a good employee. You can find out what to do or what not to do. And when you're messing with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, there's a lot to do. That I just got to call Charlie Horse. Oh, my God.
Oh, the old Charlie Horse.
Play the clip about the best secondary in the nation.
All the guys want to win, and all the guys know we're the best secondary in the nation. So just the fact that we come in and film and we check each other, or like after practice, like, I ain't like that. Could you help me here? Just knowing that certain coverages, we might need help, like cover fours. I got to help the safety. I got to take some weight off the safety, or cover two. I have to take care of number one. So just knowing that we going to these meeting rooms that we really get on each other, not harsh, but just let each other know that, this is what I need you to do so I can play confidence. And it's just a vice versa thing.
I'm back, baby.
Got some Gatorade.
Oh, my God.
Push your toe back towards your body.
Oh, my gosh.
That was something.
The craziest thing is that I haven't even worked out today. Now, I've had a Charlie Horse in the studio while on the air before. Typically on Mondays, because that's when I play basketball, and then I drink afterwards. So I'm dehydrated by 8 o'clock.
That'll do it.
Today, that has not been the case. I have not worked out at all. That was wild. You know what you're supposed to drink when you get a Charlie Horse like that? Tonic water.
Tonic water?
Yep. It has quinine in it. And quinine will immediately loosen those muscles up that are down there and give you the injection that you need.
Never knew that.
Yeah, man. Hooping on Mondays? Do you play basketball?
I don't play basketball.
Oh, okay. Hooping on Mondays, over the years, Mondays is a bad day for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm out, might have been drinking all weekend, and then you go play basketball on Monday, you're dehydrated. And then I was doing the morning show, it's not like I'd have, anything to do. I'd be trying to pound water during the morning show because I knew I was going to play ball at 12. But let me tell you, the worst thing ever. Anyway, a lot of the guys that I play basketball with, they're like hospitality industry guys, food and beverage directors, chefs, whatever. And they're the ones that were like pulling out tonic water because of the quinine. So that's where I learned that little gadget from. But oh my God, that was wild.
That is the worst.
Dude, in the middle of and the funny thing is, like, it's not like I work on this is not a music station where I could be like, oh my God,
play a song.
Here's Usher.
Let it burn.
Let it burn. I'm like,
you just start folding up in your chair and you're like, what do I do? How do I host a sports talk radio show right now?
Alex, cue up a couple of the clips. I'm playing them back to back to back. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you had that clip queued up. All right, cue up the theme music, Alex. I think we need to get up out of here, man. What a show. A little quickie there. 2 hours in and out. Bada bing. I do want to thank my guests for today. I'm not thanking Clay Harbor, his ass. I will be thanking Mike Golick Jr. Phenomenal job talking Bears and circling around the NFL. Also want to thank Bruce Levine for jumping on, giving me hope about the White Sox rotation and what Chris Getz is building over there. And also giving some empathy to the Cubs fans as their season looks like it continues to kind of fade out of reach. I want to thank my producer today, Alex Kuhn.
He's a backup.
Nah, bro. You're like Pete Carr Armstrong,
You're the backup. Contact hitter.
You're the backup, but not for them.
Yeah, in softball, I am a contact hitter. I just don't have any speed, so. Hey, halfway like PCA.
Softball, all you need is a base hit. That's all you need. Get a base hit, move the guys over. All right, next time you can catch me on The Score, I believe Saturday. I'm the new host of The Better Angle on the BetQL Network. Myself, Kate Constable, Kevin Lapka, Randy Merkin, The Squad, Saturdays 3 to 6. We'll be talking about some gambling. And then, of course, like I mentioned, tomorrow, the rally and Stadium Clubhouse on Stadium. Make sure you download that app, all right? Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
next right here on 670 The Score.
Same way as I've been before, just being interchangeable with the receivers and the tight ends and even the running back. I mean, I don't think there's many tight ends that's kept doing jet sweeps or catching screens. So hopefully to implement that as well as I did any other year that I've been in the league. So I think it'll be progressive this year.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We haven't heard much from him, but that was Bears tight end Gerald Everett. I saw him in one highlight. The pass was behind him. And the defender, I believe it was Tremaine Edmonds, bats the ball down. And I just, in watching the highlight, I was like, I'm sure he was pissed about that. I'm sure he wanted that ball right in front of him. But he's going to be a big addition. We were supposed to talk to Clay Harbor, but he's a little tied up right now. I will definitely give him crap tomorrow on TV. I am going to crush him on TV tomorrow for not showing up. We've been giving each other crap for the last... He's been on this whole week with me on Stadium, and we've been giving each other crap the whole time. It's been actually kind of funny. He's made reference to me living in my mom's basement, which is not true. I have a house in Oak Park with my wife. It's just so funny. I've been making fun of his record as an NFL player over the course of 9 years, which is impressive, by the way. But you can catch us both tomorrow on Stadium Clubhouse, 2 p.m. The rally is going to be at 5. You can download the Stadium app. We film at the United Center, which is pretty cool, too. So make sure you guys check us out tomorrow. But he speaks highly of Gerald Everett. Of course, Clay Harbor played 9 years in the NFL, and he thinks highly of the move. Of course, he thinks Cole Kmet's one of the better tight ends in the NFL because he can both block and catch. But he thinks Gerald Everett is going to be a big component to the offense. So it's exciting to hear him speak highly. He says that the potential of the Chicago Bears is what made the team attractive. And, I mean, geez, if you think about, you know, where he could have landed playing tight end in the NFL, being a main target, especially the way tight ends are used now in the present, definitely fortunate to have a guy like that on the team. So that's the offensive side of the ball. Wanted to spend a little bit of time on the defensive side of the ball as well. Tyreek Stevenson spoke to the media, and I was kind of giving the Bears defense crap earlier in the show just because I'm concerned about, I don't know, the confidence of the Bears. I mean, it's not just the Bears, but it'd be any team. But I think specifically it's the Bears because I know that we as fans are crazy about our Bears. And we tend to overinflate players because we're fans and we love them. Now, Tyreek Stevenson has been a dog. That we do know. But, again, it's one thing that I struggle with. But Tyreek Stevenson talked about the confidence of this defense and what level it's at.
I would say, you know, it's to the utmost level. It's always at the utmost level. It's never coming down. But it's definitely higher than last year. Just coming back out with the same guys, coming back out with the same scheme, and knowing that I know this scheme now and knowing my ability. So definitely a little bit more higher.
A little bit higher than last year. I understand that. There is an importance to running the same scheme. Granted, you have a new defensive coordinator, technically. But the scheme is the same, so you love that. Continuity. Hey, we hate it when AK says it. Arturis Carnicivus from the Bulls. But when Tyreek Stevenson mentions it, we got to get behind it. That we do know. Tyreek, in talking to the media, talked about how his teammates helped his growth last season, which we understand. You had some good leaders, right? Eddie Jackson, you know, even though he's not on the team anymore, he's with the Ravens now. Yep, Eddie Jackson signed with the Ravens. But veteran leadership like that, all right, you're feeling good about those additions. Jalen Johnson on the other side making you feel good, right? So even the linebacking core helping out the young cornerback. How much pressure was on them last year when they told him, hey, man, you know what? Kyler Gordon, we like you, but you're going to be guarding the slot. You're the nickel guy now. I'm sure that was a blow for Kyler Gordon. A lot of pressure on Tyreek Stevenson. A little handsy at the beginning of the season, but figured it out. And now that he feels more comfortable in his scheme, high expectations for Tyreek Stevenson. I truly hope he can reach that level. And why is he a sharper knife than last year? Not just the continuity in the scheme that they're running, but because he's going up against some of the best wide receivers in the league. It was DJ Moore last year, and this year it's Keenan Allen.
Just watching him practice and watching how he plays. Like, even if he ain't getting the ball, he runs a whole different route or he does something different, not even let you know that route is there. So if you come back to it or they run that same play, you go to where you thought he was last time. And it's a whole different route.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful because you're trying to, like, you can envision it as a Bears fan. You can envision Keenan Allen, a professional wide receiver, making a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, who I just spoke highly of, who we all think is really good, making him second guess everything he's doing. He just talked about how he's confident in his abilities. And he's like, man, he's a magician out there.
Yeah, he was talking about DJ Moore, and he's like, well, at least with DJ Moore, it's straight up. You know that he's going to run a route and he's going to beat you. There's not a whole lot of mystery, but like Keenan Allen, you have no idea what he's going
to
do.
Is he going to go over the top? Is he going to just cut a route? Like, that's so cool to see, man. And I love that Roma Dunze has the ability to watch both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, because as you should take away something from everyone that you work with. Doesn't matter if they're a bad employee or a good employee. You can find out what to do or what not to do. And when you're messing with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, there's a lot to do. I just got to call Charlie Horse. Oh, my God.
Oh, the old Charlie Horse.
Play the clip about this best secondary in the nation.
All the guys want to win, and all the guys know we the best secondary in the nation. So just the fact that we come in and film and we check each other, or like after practice, like, I ain't like that. Could you help me here? Just knowing that certain coverages we might need help, like cover fours, I got to help the safety. I got to take some weight off the safety, or cover two, I have to take care of number one. So just knowing that we going to these meeting rooms that we really get on each other, not harsh, but just let each other know that, you know, this is what I need you to do so I can play confidence. And it's just a vice versa thing.
I'm back, baby.
Got some Gatorade.
Oh, my God.
Push your toe back towards your body.
Oh, my gosh.
That was something.
The craziest thing is that I haven't even worked out today. Now, I've had a Charlie Horse in the studio while on the air before. Typically on Mondays, because that's when I play basketball, and then I drink afterwards. So I'm dehydrated by 8 o'clock.
That'll do it.
Today, that has not been the case. I have not worked out at all. That was wild. You know what you're supposed to drink when you get a Charlie Horse like that? Tonic water.
Tonic water?
Yep. It has quinine in it. And quinine will immediately loosen those muscles up that are down there and give you the injection that you need.
Never knew that.
Yeah, man. Hooping on Mondays? Do you play basketball?
I don't play basketball.
Oh, okay. Hooping on Mondays, I've just over the years, just, you know, Mondays is a bad day for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm out, might have been drinking all weekend, and then you go play basketball on Monday, you're dehydrated. And then I was doing the morning show, so it's not like I'd have, you know, anything to do. I'd be trying to pound water during the morning show because I knew I was going to play ball at 12. But let me tell you, the worst thing ever. Anyway, a lot of the guys that I play basketball with, they're like hospitality industry guys. Food and beverage directors, chefs, whatever. And they're the ones that were like pulling out tonic water because of the quinine. So that's where I learned that little gadget from. But oh my God, that was wild.
That is the worst.
Dude, in the middle of and the funny thing is, like, it's not like I work on this is not a music station where I could be like, oh my God.
Here's, play a song.
Here's Usher.
Let it burn.
Let it burn. It's like,
you just start folding up in your chair and you're like, what do I do? How do I host a sports talk radio show right now?
Alex, cue up a couple of clips. I'm playing them back to back to back. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you had that clip queued up. All right, cue up the theme music, Alex. I think we need to get up out of here, man. What a show. Little quickie there. 2 hours in and out. Bada bing. I do want to thank my guests for today. I'm not thanking Clay Harbor, his ass. I will be thanking Mike Golick Jr. Phenomenal job talking Bears and circling around the NFL. Also want to thank Bruce Levine for jumping on, giving me hope about the White Sox rotation and what Chris Getz is building over there. And also giving some empathy to the Cubs fans as their season looks like it continues to kind of fade out of reach. I want to thank my producer today, Alex Kuhn.
He's a backup.
Nah, bro. You're like Pete Carr Armstrong, you know?
You're the backup. Contact hitter?
You're the backup, but not for long.
Yeah, in softball, I am a contact hitter. I just don't have any speed, so hey, halfway like PCA.
Softball, all you need is a base hit. That's all you need. Get a base hit, move the guys over. All right, next time you can catch me on The Score, I believe Saturday. I'm the new host of The Better Angle on the BetQL Network. Myself, Kate Constable, Kevin Lapka, Randy Merkin, The Squad, Saturdays 3 to 6. We're talking about some gambling. And then, of course, like I mentioned, tomorrow, the rally and Stadium Clubhouse on Stadium. Make sure you download that app, all right? Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.